Chapter 14. I was almost certain he was the one, but only almost. And I had never been only almost certain before. I felt weak, intoxicated, half sick with a combination of excitement and uncertainty and complete wrongness. But of course, the dark passenger was driving from the back seat now, and how I felt was not terribly important anymore, because he felt strong and cold and eager and ready. I could feel him swelling inside me, surging up out of the dexter dark corners of my lizard brain, a rising and swelling that could only end one way, and that being the case, it rather had to be with this one. I had found him several months ago, but after a little bit of observation, I decided that the priest was a sure thing, and this one could wait a little longer until I was positive. How wrong I had been. I now found he couldn't wait at all. He lived on a small street in Coconut Grove. A few blocks to one side of his crummy little house, the neighborhood was low-income black housing, barbecue joints, and crumbling churches. Half a mile in the other direction, the millionaires lived in overgrown modern houses and built coral walls to keep out people like him. But Jamie Jaworski was right in between, in a house he shared with a million palmetto bugs and the ugliest dog I had ever seen. It was still a house he shouldn't have been able to afford. Jaworski was a part-time janitor at Ponce de Leon Junior High, and as far as I could tell, that was his only source of income. He worked 3 days a week, which might be just enough to live on, but not much more. Of course, I was not interested in his finances. I was very interested in the fact that there had been a small but significant increase in runaway children from Ponce since Jaworski had begun to work there. All of them 12 to 13-year-old, light-haired girls. Light-haired. That was important. For some reason, it was the kind of detail that police often seemed to overlook, but always jumped out at someone like me. Perhaps it didn't seem politically correct. Dark-haired girls and dark-skinned girls should have an equal opportunity to be kidnapped, sexually abused, and then cut up in front of a camera, don't you think? Jaworski, too, often seemed to be the missing kid's last witness. The police had talked to him, held him overnight, questioned him, and hadn't been able to make anything stick to him. Of course, they have to meet certain petty legal requirements. Torture, for example, was frowned on lately, for the most part. And without some very forceful persuasion, Jamie Jaworski was never going to open up about his hobby. I know I wouldn't.